TheRadioShow.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sunday Morello.
Hey, this is James from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you, but you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Boy, that's getting to be a mouthful. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is the producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
That's what she said.
Right, and we have a ton to get into tonight. We have a lot of news. I'm sorry, just so sorry about the amount of news. We have NXT, we have Hell in a Cell that we're going to be talking all about, and of course we have our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite Hell in a Cell match?
See, as the consummate professional on this show, I've been doing a lot of research on this question.
He's been spending all day watching Hell in a Cell on WWE Network.
For only $9.99.
Ding.
Actually, I haven't watched one today, but the previous couple days, I have been watching some Hell in a Cell matches, and man, there have been some awful ones, and there's been some good ones, and we'll talk about your favorites later in the show, and our favorites as well, because I know I have a couple in mind for that question.
I have a couple in mind, too, but there's really one that's kind of popping out of my head, and it's probably not going to be anybody's... a surprise to anybody what it's actually going to be.
It's going to be that one with Ryback.
Yeah, that was so epic. Not really.
Feed me more. Feed me more.
Stay away. Stay away.
Okay, before we get into the news presented by PWMania.com, has anyone noticed Curtis Axel hasn't been on TV?
Nope.
Just gonna throw that one out there. So, you
I
know.
I just realized this last night.
I mentioned to her, like, Ryback's come back soon. And then I said, Curtis Axel will return too. Wait, he's been gone?
He's been gone?
What?
Wait, what?
What? Oh, yeah. So Curtis Axel's been off your TVs for a while. When Ryback's healthy, he will be back. If you missed him, great. I don't see this campaign of bring back Curtis Axel like it's bring back the WWE Championship with Brock Lesnar.
I'm not going to take anything away from Curtis. I like Curtis. I really do. I like Curtis. I think he's tremendously entertaining, especially when he and Ryback were feuding over Heyman, and it was like, who's the favorite child? Because the looks that they were giving him, each other, I should say, were just priceless. I just wish they would let him be more himself, because the dude's got a wicked personality and an awesome sense of humor. And I just wish they would let that come through, because they don't.
No, they don't. And they don't let, like, he has a natural ability to, like, when he's on the JB on Call show or some YouTube thing, he's funny, he's interesting. But when they put him on TV, he's so...
Yeah, the character's just very blah. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, we know your personality translates, because we've seen it on the JB on Call show, so, you know, you just gotta let it translate on TV, and I wish they would let him do that.
Sadly, they do not let him show that personality, but maybe they will this next time around, and, you know, Ryback may get this big monster push again. Because that's what we need. We need Ryback. Ryback is here to save the WWE.
Please, no.
Hashtag save us, Ryback. Hashtag it, save us, Ryback.
No.
No? We're not approving save us, Ryback?
No, we're not. That's a no. There's a whole lot of nope in that statement.
Nope.
Nope. Nope, nope. But, well, maybe if Curtis needs to show some personality, he should possibly start dating a total diva.
That would be a good way to show some personality. I mean, it got us to know an Uso.
It did get us to know an Uso. And a Cena. And a Bryna. Brian.
I was going to say, it got us to know an Uso, not his first name, but it got us to know an Uso. And a Bryna.
John. His name is John. Everybody's name on that show is John.
John.
I'm just going to go with that.
John. Jonathan. John. J-O-N. J-O-H-N. And, you know, Jonathan.
So forth.
So it's John Bryan? John Bryanson?
I guess so.
Anyway.
Anyway. And, well, they aren't the only people that we've gotten to know, but it seems we're going to be getting to know a few more because, well, the biggest news coming out this week, aside from, you know, the WWE domestic violence policy, which we'll get into in a minute, is that Total Divas 1 is coming up on their finale this Sunday, and two new divas have been added to the show for a grand total of 10.
If you've been following along with the Rack Extra, heard every week on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com, we'll review episodes of Total Divas. The episode 8 review is coming out tomorrow, and episode 9 to follow, and then with the season finale, the mid-season finale this Sunday, episode 10 will be next week at some point, which is entitled A Wedding, A Breakup, and A Divorce. Don't miss it this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern on E!, head-to-head with the Hell in a Cell.
It's going down, y'all. It's going down.
Things are going down. But Total Divas will return for the continuation of Season 3 in January, on January 4th, at 10 p.m. Eastern, and then returning to its normal time slot on the 11th at 9 p.m. But they aren't coming alone when it returns.
Nope. It seems that Paige and Alicia Fox have been added to the cast, which is two very interesting choices, as the cast is getting rather large, and Rock and I were actually talking about this before the show, where it feels like they're maybe starting to phase people off the show.
It does appear that way. They're sort of slowly... We've noticed that this season, more so than any other season, that Naomi has taken a backseat. It's like, one of the great dynamics for the show in the first couple seasons was Naomi and the Uso, John, we'll call him John, even though that's not his name on TV, John Uso, that they had great chemistry and they were almost a hit on the show, especially if you listen to the Rack Extra intro, we have, you know, clips of Cameron and her boob thing floating. The time they went to the plastic surgeon's office, still the greatest moment in the history of live reality television.
Yeah,
seriously. When John Uso had it, with Naomi's help, fell up the girl's breast. Which is tremendous.
What happens when you take a wrestler to the plastic surgeon's office?
With a free
pass. Find out.
With a free pass. It's tremendous.
With a free pass.
If you have not seen that episode, here's a shameless plug. Go watch it on the WWE Network, because they have the first season or two on the network at this point.
Yes, they do.
But there was like one episode that really featured her, and that was early in the season. And she hasn't really been featured much throughout this season. Which is a shame, because we liked her, and she has a great personality, but she's been injured and she's trying to focus more on her career, which is great. So she seems to be phasing out, and there's a chance that Summer Rae will be phasing out just a little bit. And we were talking about it before the show, is like, she adds an interesting element to the show.
She does. She's your stereotypical diva, and she's not. She's got a lot of personality in her, and they kind of like to play her up as the bad girl and the troublemaker, and kind of like just stirring everything up with the other girls, because everything was peaceful and calm, especially, you know, between the Bella twins before it all went to hell. And they brought Summer in, and Summer kind of mixed things up for them a little bit, especially with that rivalry between Summer and Natty. And now they're kind of doing something between Summer and Rosa, but it doesn't seem like that's going to last very long. So, yeah, it seems like Summer Rae might be being phased off, as she's not been on the show as much. Eva hasn't been on the show as much.
So there's a chance some girls could take a backseat, a little bit smaller role, but again, you never know. We could be totally wrong, and they could be featured in every episode.
They could, but it's with them expanding the cast out and people already being sort of pushed backwards, there's probably a strong possibility that some of the original cast are going to be phased out at some point, and they're going to be replaced with other divas just to cycle them through the show so they can keep it fresh and different and keep people interested. Yeah, it makes sense. To me, it's like they're adding pretty much every diva on the diva's roster except AJ.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. She doesn't want to do it. She already told him no.
That, and she's her personal life.
Yeah, who she's married to. Yeah, they can't. Yeah. That would get awkward, really awkward. But she's already told him no, so they're good there.
They're good there, but, you know, you never know. But you mentioned the cast is growing. Who's joining the cast?
Told you, Paige and Alicia Fox.
Oh, you mentioned it? Okay, cool. So I can read this part then.
Yes, you can. You see how much he pays attention to me?
When Total Divas returns with all new episodes on January 4th at 10 p.m. Eastern, a duo emerges to shake up the dynamics of the cast. WWE Diva Paige and WWE Diva Alicia Fox. Former WWE Divas Champion Paige is a raven-haired diva who preaches a simple message. She wants to mix it up in the ring. She first began battling when she was 13, following her family of English wrestlers, and gained prominence inside WWE's NXT division as the first NXT Women's Champion. Similarity is stunning, and the stunning Alicia Fox has proven herself to be far more ferocious than anyone ever expected. The talented Miss Fox has etched her name in WWE records as the first ever African American woman to win the Divas Championship. Together, the two ladies, among with friends WWE Diva Rosa Mendes, form a clique in the locker room that rivals the Bella Twins and Cameron, leaving Natty stuck in the middle. There's your drama there. As Season 3 progresses, a long-time feud between Ariana and Alicia forces the two divas to go head-to-head. They have a long-time feud. On a couple's front, Nikki and John are on the outs after he blindsided her with the idea that he may not be meant for each other. Bree also has to confess that she went behind Nikki's back and confronted Cena about the stance on marriage that led to the couple's turmoil. Newlywed Eva Marie struggles with some surprising health issues, and Bree seriously considers giving up her exciting career for a more domestic life. In addition, this is the best part, as Natty deals with her imploding marriage and its subsequent fallout, she looks to her family and friends for support, which includes moving into Cena's house. This becomes problematic when she finds out he is very allergic to cats, and Natty can't fathom parting with her furry friends. I love that part. I want to see that.
It's going down, y'all.
I want to see her in John's house. That will be amazing.
That will be amazing.
But yeah, it's interesting that I'm not so, again, long-time rivalry with Alicia Fox and Cameron. Okay. But
okay.
But Paige being added, that adds some intrigue. Some real.
It's a good way for the audience to get to know Paige because she is still so incredibly new.
Yeah.
And that way, it's your viewing audience can get to know her and kind of latch on to her. I wouldn't mind seeing some of the NXT divas added. maybe Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Bailey.
I think Sasha would work.
Sasha would probably work. Charlotte would work.
I don't think Bailey would work.
Bailey wouldn't work. And you don't want to do, you don't want to put Bailey in with that crowd because you do want her to stand out. But I would say Sasha or Charlotte. That would be kind of neat to see what the NXT divas go through. And I was kind of hoping that they would show that with Eva Marie in terms of what she goes through in her schedule. Because as we talk to her, she's training while she's also on the road.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. I don't think they could put Charlotte just because of who she's married to.
I'm sure money talks. In that instance,
I don't think you can at that point. But you know,
when was the last time he was on TNA though?
The other week.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
But anyway, back to the point. I'm intrigued by seeing Paige on the show. Because you follow her on the social medias, and she's very energetic, is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to see the world, likes to do many different things, and it'll be interesting to see. Again, it's from the young eye perspective, and it'll be interesting to see how see her history in the business and how she handles life on the road. And I think it'll be very intriguing because she's become one of the more intriguing divas on the television show at this point. So it would be interesting to cross promote her on Total Divas. Hopefully putting her on it will help the girls be taken more seriously. Because some people go, "Oh my God, it's Total Divas. It's not worth my time." I'd hopefully with her being on it add some more legitimacy to it. Is the best way to put it.
I think some people are more seeing it as she's kind of being taken. Like, a lot of people are actually mad at her because they're taking this as a joke. Because Total Divas is considered that. It's considered a joke. Excuse me. So, they're going to have to turn some people around on this one, no doubt.
Yeah, and we'll see how it is. I expect good things coming out of it. Because I know not a lot of people are intrigued by the show. But me and Lindsay, we're very intrigued by the show. And the show that we're putting out tomorrow... For the Rack Extra? Yeah. Let's just say couples road trip.
Couples road trip, and next week, I believe, is the marriage stuff.
The marriage stuff, and apparently, spoiler alert for some people, Dean Ambrose had an idea for a bachelor party at one point.
Dean Ambrose doing a bachelor party? That's kind of awesome.
So
I would go to that.
Bet you would. Anyway, so yeah, we'll see what happens, and again, check out the Rack Extra Total Divas when it airs on the websites this weekend.
Yes, and speaking of Total Divas and former divas, we should say congratulations to Maria Kanellis, as she is the first recipient of the WWE scholarship.
Yeah, a while back they offered talent scholarships, you know, to help educate some of their former talents. And she became the first winner. There's an article up on WWE.com that talks about her life since leaving WWE, talks about her marriage. Congratulations to Maria, as she recently married Ring of Honor superstar Mike Bennett, I believe it was last weekend, as they're on their honeymoon right now. But yeah, she just first winner of the scholarship. They caught up with her, and she'll allow her to complete her degree. She's going to Johnson & Wales University. She's going into sports, entertainment, and some other field. So that's kind of cool that they like to give back to some of their former talents, and now she doesn't have to worry about paying for school loans. She doesn't have to worry about that.
Absolutely. So congratulations to her. She also offers congratulations to Stephanie McMahon. She's the winner of an award herself.
Yeah, she has been selected as the 2015 Eisenhower USA Fellow, one of the 9 U.S. leaders to participate in the prestigious International Leadership Exchange Program for Outstanding Professionals, the Eisenhower Fellowships have announced. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, so congratulations to her.
Like, one of 9, that's that says something. That shows, like, as much as people like to, you know, talk bad about Stephanie McMahon, you know who you are out there on YouTube channel, she does some great things, and, you know, this is one of them. That's kind of cool. She's a great brand officer for the company, and she helps spread the message. And while some people think that she's hurting the business, she's doing a pretty good job at it.
You done?
Yeah. You like those subtle little things?
I wouldn't be calling the last one out, dude.
I'm not calling him out. I'm just pointing his comments out. You can follow him on
Twitter. Oh, I
know. You can follow him on Twitter. He's made some comments.
He's hilarious.
He is. Jim Cornette's awesome, but I disagree with his stance on Stephanie.
Well, it remains to be seen. The real test is going to be when full control goes to Stephanie and Hunter, as they don't have that yet, as Vince is still there.
Vince, and as Hunter keeps saying in every interview, Vince will always be there, because, well, he's never going to die.
What the fuck are they going to do, prop him up?
Yeah, that's exactly. You know, they'll come up with the technology, and he'll outlive everybody. Look, that's what they all say, because of his work ethic, he's going to outlive everybody.
Or it's going to kill him, one of the two. What? Like, every time I see Vince McMahon trending on Yahoo, I'm like, oh shit, did he die?
Yeah, every time she says that, I was like, oh, what happened now? What happened now? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little scary. And, well, speaking of, I don't know, scary, not scary, depends on how you view it. John Cena is coming up with a new television show?
Like, I'm sitting here going, what is she talking about for scary? It's like, what? But no, John Cena, WWE John Cena and Pawn Stars producer Left Field Pictures have teamed together to develop an unscripted series based on unknown individuals from all walks of life with compelling stellar stories to tell. According to Variety.com, the story notes that while seeing the production company have several ideas, they have not revealed any true concept, but Cena's breaking away a little bit, trying to develop a series of, or, you know, outside of the business, which is kind of cool. It's interesting.
It's interesting, but the description of it is obviously very bland, very generic. No surprise. They don't want to give too much away. I'm pretty sure they don't really have much of an idea yet, but it's intriguing that Cena is now starting to look at outside projects and starting to take outside projects and do outside projects, because you look at John Cena and you would take him as a company man, and I'm sure he is, but it's something of maybe he's now looking to the future and realizing that, well, he can't wrestle forever. And this isn't going to last, and so he needs to find the next thing.
Right, and you look at guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. What have they been doing recently? Besides acting.
Reality shows.
Reality television. Steve Austin has Broken Skull Ranch, and it has another name as well.
Redneck Island.
Redneck Island, thank you. And The Rock has had the one on TNT. And he has another one coming. The Rock has another one. He had The Hero on TNT. He has another one coming out soon. So it's like they have the script. He has also, The Rock has a scripted show coming out on HBO at some point. So this is like a way to feel things out. It's not like he's going to be on these shows, but, you know, he's starting a career of some sort, you know, production company, basically, sort of in a roundabout way, which is cool.
Which is cool, so we'll have to see where he goes with it. Speaking of starting new projects and starting something new, Mick Foley and country star Shooter Jennings are working together, and they are releasing a Christmas record called Crazy Christmas, with Foley narrating and Jennings doing the music and sound effects. It will be released in late November.
Shooter Jennings, why do I know this name?
He did Storm's theme a couple years ago.
That would be it.
He's Waylon Jennings' son.
That would be it. No, but I knew the wrestling connection. I knew he did someone's theme.
Yeah, it was Storm.
It was Storm. Of course it was Storm. Always is James Storm. But yeah, so that's kind of cool. Crazy Christmas.
It is kind of cool.
Crazy Christmas with Mick Foley and Shooter Jennings.
That's the other thing, and that could be really scary or really good. I'm not sure which
yet. Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to. Like, okay, that has a reason for it. Okay, I got it. All right.
You got it now?
I got it. I follow. I follow where you're going.
And, well, speaking of following, Justin Roberts is apparently writing a tell-all book.
He's good.
In the wake of his recent termination from WWE, he has decided to write a autobiography detailing his rise to the WWE roster and also kind of life on the road as a WWE talent. So
it'll be interesting to see what he would come up with. He apparently jetted down to right after getting canned by WWE, he went to Hawaii, of all places. You know,
hey, you know what? Dude needed a vacation.
It's what you do. You get lose your job, you go to Hawaii. You know, that sort of thing.
When you have all this frequent flyer miles, you got to burn them somehow because you'll probably never use them again.
Yeah, he plans on writing about the struggle to break into the wrestling business. He wants the book to be part inspirational, part instructional. But he plans to meet with potential suitors once he is done writing the book. So cool, that's cool. So he has an outside plan. He also has a business on the side, like we mentioned last week. So, you know, it's another thing, another iron in his fire.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And speaking of irons in the fire, Slam City is scheduled to potentially be renewed for a second season. But I believe season one is set to appear on the Nicktoons network.
Yeah, there's a block on called Nick Sports that airs on Nicktoons network. So these 2-minute shots of Slam City will be airing in that block at points, which is cool. So yeah, it'll begin airing on Nicktoons network starting on Wednesday, October 22nd, which was yesterday, at from between 9 and 11 p.m. Eastern. So again, they sold the show to another outlet, which means people are interested in the show, and from all accounts, the show is doing very well with children. It's been seen has over 20 million views, which is pretty cool. So there is interest in the show. So it's on the network, it has its own website, and now it'll be a part of Nick Sports, and, you know, again, this is another way for WWE to generate some revenue, especially with their big conference call next week, where they're going to be announcing all the numbers and stuff, the financials for the network next week, which we'll have the updates for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They need all the positive mojo they can get. And, well, speaking of Mojo Jojo.
Really?
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 Really? Okay.
Mojo Rawley of NXT fame is set to have surgery on his shoulder. Poor baby.
Yeah, as has been documented during our recaps, he's been dealing with a shoulder injury. We'll talk more about that later in the program when we talk about NXT coming up here in a little bit. But yeah, he's apparently going to get some shoulder surgery to clear it up and hopefully back in the ring in a few weeks.
Somebody needs to get him hyped. Bailey. Give him a hug. The man needs a hug. And a cookie. Probably in that order.
Probably in that order, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you can't hug him after surgery, so.
Nah, just get him a cookie. He'll be cool.
Yeah, he'll be cool. He can stay hyped that way.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Speaking of hyped, the Edge and Christian fan base must be super hyped because the two have been making several appearances together, including making everybody happy by Christian joining, at least for one episode, Haven.
Yeah, he'll be joining later at the end of November. He'll be appearing on an episode of Haven, and he will also be appearing in 2015 in a couple episodes as well. So, you know, he has a long-time friendship with Edge, and that's what the character is going to be based on, that they have a long-time friendship, and, yeah, so they've been teasing it on Twitter a lot when they were promoting the hashtag Edge and Christian Takeover special that was on the network, which was hilarious. If you never watched it, go watch it. When they when they did the Bray Wyatt family theme with kazoos, It was tremendous. They
brought
out
awesome.
They brought out all the old gags and stuff, the big hats and the wigs and yeah.
They just had a lot of fun with it.
Oh, they did, and I love the ending where they did a 5-second pose and it was on for like 10 minutes. They just had to try to hold the pose and they did the yoga. Like I did the DDP yoga. It's like, are the cameras off? Yeah. So yeah, there you go. So that's cool. It shows that someone's career may be done.
Possibly. There have been rumors swirling around Christian for ages now that, well, he might be done. And this may be an indication that it could be true, but, well, we don't have confirmation for sure.
No, we don't have confirmation yet, but all signs point... If we had the Magic 8 Ball, even though it's in storage, I think. Right?
I think so, yeah.
We can't ask the Magic 8 Ball what the Magic 8 Ball thinks of Christian's career. One day we'll ask it again.
Yeah. The Magic 8 Ball, sadly, is in the storage unit in a box, and I'm not driving over there to find it. Sorry, y'all. I have to move very large, heavy boxes, and that's just not going to happen. But, well, speaking of not happening anymore, because I have no other transition, and it's going to be awkward as hell no matter how I do it, WWE announced that they are updating their wellness policy to include a brand new domestic violence policy, which is a little interesting, especially in the wake of all the NFL issues recently. WWE put out a statement that said they have a zero tolerance for matters involving domestic violence, child abuse, and sexual assault. Upon arrest for such misconduct, a WWE talent will be immediately suspended. Upon conviction for such misconduct, a WWE talent will be immediately terminated. WWE's ability to fine, suspend, or terminate a talent will not be, however, limited or compromised in any manner in the event incontrovertible evidence of such illegal misconduct is presented to WWE. Section 9.13 Angel of the WWE
A. That's supposed to be A. You know, when Skype. It's
oh.
A.
Sorry.
Why would it be 9.13 Angel?
I don't know how they do their legal language. Section 9.13 A. of the WWE booking contract, commonly known as the Morals Clause, provides WWE with broad discretion and authority to act under such circumstances. This is incredibly interesting. Given in the wake of everything that's happened in the NFL, all the domestic violence, the child abuse, all of it, it's interesting that WWE is responding by updating their policies and putting that in there when the NFL has not.
Well, the NFL has taken on committees and are working on things. WWE is very proactive with this, and they're going right for it. And all right, so this is where it comes. It's an interesting line. If you know your WWE history, there are certain talents in the past that have had domestic violence issues. And if this were the case, say back in 1998, or earlier, one of the biggest stars in history probably would have never became one of the biggest stars in history, and that's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Very true. But I think... I honestly think they're trying to get ahead of it just to be proactive and have it out there, because while they had really the biggest domestic violence issue in a long time, short of outside the NFL, which was the He Who Shall Not Be Named case, they didn't put it in initially when that happened. They instead just kind of updated the wellness policy for drugs and alcohol and testing and that kind of thing. So it's kind of curious to me and kind of cool that they're doing this now, and they're not only including domestic violence, but also child abuse and rape.
Yeah.
They're basically making sure their talent behaves, and if they don't, you're gone. Like, that's that's a pretty stern policy of, yeah, we'll suspend you while you're under suspicion of it, but if you're convicted, you're done. See you, bye. Unless somebody proves it to us before you get convicted, and then, yeah, there's the door. Don't let it hit you in the ass on the way out.
Zero tolerance is the key. Zero tolerance.
So the question is who is going to screw up first?
Are we taking bets on this?
No, we're not taking bets on it, because that would be wrong. But it's just, you know, somebody's going to push that. Push on that. And it's very difficult, because it all depends on what they determine as domestic violence, whether it's simply physical or if it's verbal as well.
I would assume it's physical. But then again, anything that leads to a legal action probably will fall under domestic violence.
Probably.
Depending, again, they have the morals clause where they can maneuver. It's basically the Randy Orton rule, where you can maneuver around certain things to keep certain people employed. But
Randy Orton.
They must feel very confident in their superstars. To implement this so quickly?
I think they know their talent. I think they know what's going on. And they're pretty on top of things. And the talent roster that they have now is vastly different than the roster that they had in the mid-90s. Now, that's not to say that anyone on the roster could be capable of doing any one of those things.
No, because you look at the NFL and you never suspect some of the things that have happened, and they have, so.
Yeah, so it's something of, again, it's them getting ahead of the curve and them saying, okay, well, this has happened in the NFL, and there's a very strong chance that it could happen in our business, just like it could happen in basketball, hockey, football, European, football, Australian, you know, any sport, there are people that will do any, you know, one or more of these things. And so I think they're just kind of looking at it as, you know, more statistics than anything else of, okay, well, something's going to happen. We're kind of tempting fate here. Everybody's doing pretty good, but let's just, you know, throw this out here just so we're covered. So when the issue does arise, we're good.
And to correct you, it's football.
Whatever.
Football. Or soccer.
I was trying not to call it soccer, but soccer.
Football.
But yeah, so what do you think of this?
I'm for it. Yeah, and like you said, it's the timing is very interesting. I like that they're proactive with it. And that's my stance on it. Again, I hope they're very confident in their talent. You look at them around the roster and you go, okay, I don't see any issues coming up. They sort of got rid of some of the bad apples, but then again, the nicest person could have a moment and we would be shocked.
Yeah, all it takes is one incident. All it takes is one slip, and that's all you need, really. And after that, everything can go to hell. Really quick.
So John Cena, better stay good.
I think he will.
Yeah, I don't think they have to worry about John Cena.
Nah, not really. So, well, I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Alright, well, when we come back, we are going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT, including, well, I'm trying to think of stuff that happened and my mind just went bright.
We have the NXT Championship match, Adrian Neville versus Titus O'Neil, and a showdown between everyone's favorite Bayley and the boss, Sasha Banks.
Yeah, see? His mind went blank too.
I forgot her nickname.
Really? Really, you forgot Sasha Banks' nickname? Really?
I thought, for a minute, I was going to call her the Queen of NXT.
And so that's Charlotte.
That's Charlotte. That's why, you know, I...
So she wants to be the queen of NXT, and she's gunning for Charlotte. We'll see if she gets there. So we'll let you know what all happened right after the break. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Save us!
popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWmania.com. Again, the web address is PWmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWmania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost! Jarvis! Jason the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a jab. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down hit the stop the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. One more quick news item before we jump into NXT, because, well, I just found it. Kind of an update on the Alberto Del Rio story. It seems that Cody Barbary the social media manager that Del Rio supposedly slapped and made the racist, and the dude that basically made the racist comment, has departed WWE under his own mysterious terms, and he's now working as a independent social media consultant. And by the way, his job is up for grabs, so if anybody would like to work for WWE, they do have a posting open for manager of social media.
He must have gotten a sweet severance package.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I'm very sure he did.
But anyway,
now we move on to NXT.
And it opened up with The Ascension, taking on Jason Jordan and Ty Dillinger. Jordan start things out with Victor. After Jordan having early control of Victor, Victor laid in some big shots before tagging in Connor, and while they sort of just start to double team, big shoulder block by The Ascension, they laid in some boots at Connor to Jordan in the corner. So Connor continued on, laying in the shots. Jordan finally was able to tag in Ty Dillinger, and well, his momentum took him right into Connor as Connor laid him out with a flapjack. Victor got tagged in. They put him in position. Fall of Man. Your winners, The Ascension.
This was okay.
We had a squash match with people with names.
Yay.
That's basically what happened. It's typical Ascension squash match, just with guys on the roster.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'd like to see the Ascension get some real competition, because we saw them with semi-real competition or real competition when they were up on the main roster, and, well, it was a little scary. So,
yeah.
I'd like to see, you know, somebody come down to NXT, maybe have them be where they're a little bit more comfortable and see what they can do with it.
You mentioned real competition. Well, out came Hideo Itami. He showed up after the match, went after Ascension. He was trading shots with them, but he quickly got outnumbered. He got double-teamed by Ascension with boots, right hands, just kept beating him down. They kept claiming this is their house. Doesn't continue to land shots on Itami. They set him up, fall a man. The Ascension told Itami to go home if you know what's good for you. Nice beatdown, continuation of the program.
Poor Hideo.
He needs a friend.
He needs a prince.
Huh.
I wonder where he can find one of those.
No idea.
I wonder if NXT has a prince.
Prince Iaka is still looking for work, so maybe they can find him.
Yeah, that's not what I was thinking of.
No? Oh. Anyway. We'll see what happens next week. Will he have a prince in his corner? We'll have to see. Up next, as I write in my notes, Mr. Manpanty, CJ Parker, takes on Tyler Breeze. Manpanty comes out early with shots and gets backdropped onto the apron, then gets dropkicked off the apron by Breeze. Breeze kicks Manpanty back into... brings Manpanty back in the ring. Manpanty runs the ropes and then cheap shots Breeze and lays him in with left hands. He's a left-handed fellow, as Mr. Manpanty. Manpanty takes him to the corner and drives his head first into the top turnbuckle, connects with a double axe handle for a two count. This is where Mr. Stay Hyped All the Time, Mojo Rawley, comes out and sort of watching as Manpanty goes to the top rope again, but Breeze connects with a shot to the midsection as he came off the top rope. Manpanty charged in again. Breeze got his boots up and connected with a nice hurricanrana, followed by a few shots into the corner on Mr. Manpanty. Mr. Manpanty was able to roll Breeze for a second for a two count, but goes for another roll up. Tyler held onto the ropes. Manpanty went for a spin kick. Breeze docked, hit the beauty shot for the win. Your winner, Tyler Breeze, beats Mr. Manpanty. After the match, Mojo was staring down Tyler Breeze, as he was throughout the match, as Breeze sort of mocked the shoulder injury. See, my shoulder works.
Mojo, honey, you have to get your shoulder fixed. Leave Tyler alone. You can get him later. Okay? But no, this was actually a really good match. Very enjoyable. Got a little worried when Mojo came out, because it's like, isn't he supposed to be injured?
Right, and it was interesting because these are two heels going up against each other. It was a different style match. The crowd really didn't know who to go for, and they sort of started going for Tyler until Mojo came out, and it was sort of like, huh, which way do I lean? And apparently Tyler's cut his hair a little bit and darkened it, as we took notice of.
Yeah, he's not as bleach blonde as he used to be.
No, which is good for him, because, you know, you need to be... I guess you're taken more seriously when you're not bleach blonde.
We'll go with that. Why not? Because I got nothing else.
Well, Titus has words.
The number one contender for the NXT Championship, Titus O'Neil.
Nervous?
A little bit.
Okay, good. That's why I just need you to just sit there and hold the mic, because I know you're going to ask, what are your thoughts tonight on your match versus Adrian Neville, right? Simple. My thoughts, it's not just my thoughts, it's my actions. What I'm going to do tonight to Adrian Neville is simple. I'm going to abuse his body, I'm going to damage his mind, and most importantly, I'm going to take his NXT championship away from him. Tonight, you get the pleasure to witness this place officially being named NXTITUS champion.
Was that English?
Yes.
I don't think that's grammatically correct. Pretty sure that's not grammatically correct. But, yeah, anyway, Titus wants to get kinky with Adrian. That's basically the gist of that.
We then had a Baron Corbin hype video.
Yay, Baron Corbin.
But he needs to remove something.
I know everybody's going to hate on me for this, but I really don't like the wolf on the back of the vest. Like, I get that's part of the gimmick and that's his thing, is that he's a lone wolf or whatever, but I just think it can be done a lot better than the way that they're just taking a wolf picture and kind of sewing it on the back of the vest. Like, you could do that in other ways, and it would look way better and less cheap, I guess. So, yeah, that's my only thing.
So we had the Vaughn villains taking on Buddy Murphy and Wesley Blake. The announcers put over the edgier attitude of the Vaughn villains as they came out. A couple fans chanted, change your theme back.
But they still had the little dude with the megaphone, so that makes me happy.
So Murphy and English started things out. English worked over the arm for a little bit before Murphy takes control, flipping English over, which was impressive a couple times. English backed Murphy into the corner, took a couple hard elbows before Gotch got tagged in. They double-teamed Murphy with a shot to the midsection and right to the face as the fans chanted, that was manly. Blake with a blind tag and a double leapfrog, followed by a back elbow to Gotch. Murphy gets tagged in, who hits a slingshot senton for a two count. Gotch stops Murphy from making that tag. Little distraction from English, and Gotch took back control over Murphy. So Murphy was taking the beating for most of the match. Gotch gets tags in, he works over the arm, stretches it out a little bit more, they worked over some more. Murphy gets tagged. Murphy gets out of the hold, but English stops him from tagging out. Murphy escaped the schoolboy, tags Blake in, which he took out Gotch, and then took out English with a springboard forearm, and then nipped up shades of some showstopper named Shawn Michaels. English then got tagged in, Gotch with a hard shot, after the roll through, and then English with an uppercut, and then Gentleman's Congress for the victory. Your winners, the Vaughn Villains.
Yay! Makes me so happy.
Good match. Buddy Murphy's impressing me some more, even though he's been the one taking beatings a lot. He has some potential as a dude at this point. He's improving as we go along. They're allowing him to do more things.
I would agree with that. I would 100% agree with that.
So, up next is Bayley versus Sasha Banks.
Bayley.
Bayley goes after Sasha a couple times. She ducked away both times, ducking through the ropes. Sasha was taunting her for a third time, ducks through the ropes. But then cheap shots Bayley. Bayley trips her up and lays in shots. Both girls go back and forth, training shots on the rolling around the ring. Bayley with a big shot and a knee drop for a two count. Bayley with a knee and spinning back elbow to the back and a drop front elbow to the chest, which is a nice combination. Bayley with forearms and gets reversed from an Irish whip. Comes off the rope with Sasha down. Bayley's on the apron. Sasha kicked her in the head, which is like, boo, Sasha. Sasha then stands Bayley, stretches her out, she snapped at her and then did, which was a cool moment in the match. She snapped Bayley and then ran like he was going to do like a drop kick or something, then slapped her. I thought that was creative.
Very creative, yes.
We had the modified surfboard. Bailey continued to fight back with shots to the midsection. She drives her into the corner with a running shoulder blocks and then a couple elbows in the corner. Bailey comes off the middle rope with a spring back elbow for a two count. She goes for a slam to Bailey. Sasha gets out, backcracker, and then locks in the bank statement. Your winner, as Bailey taps out, is Sasha Banks.
So Sasha's on a roll. Looks like she's gunning for Charlotte.
It was great. I like these two together. These two have good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And Sasha's improving as we go along. After the match, Sasha attacks Bailey. Becky Lynch comes in and makes the save for Bailey. Becky helps out Bailey and gives her a hug, and then attacks her from behind with a clothesline. Yes, folks, we had a heel turn, and it was one Becky Lynch.
And could the BFFs be reforming with new members? We'll have to see.
So what do you think of the heel turn?
It was very unexpected. I think putting Becky with Sasha will help her, because they can kind of sort of help to direct her character a little bit more and define it a little bit better. And she'll kind of get to play that bratty, sort of bitchy heel role, which they need right now, because Sasha's really one of the only ones doing it. They don't have too many heel females on TV. Right. Charlotte was a heel, and now she's kind of a tweener. And then you have Bailey and Alexa, who are both faces. And I'm trying to think of who else. I'm trying to think of their women's roster, and I can't think of it right now.
That's pretty good. That's pretty much the main crux of it.
And then you have Carmella, who's really undetermined at this point. So yeah, it's good that they turn Becky Lynch heel, because they do need more heels in the women's division. So yay!
And Sasha works better with a partner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned one Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she had something to say with Mr. Enzo Amore.
Oh.
Let me pull you back.
Oh me, oh my, sweet potato pie. Carmella.
How you doing, Carmella? You look good.
Obviously.
Touche. So, as you well know, I'm a G, but what you might not know is that I'm 4G, because I'm well-connected. So I sat down with William Regal, the GM.
Oh, yeah, and what'd you guys do? Drink tea or something?
Oh, no. I'm here to sit down. Listen, I got you something.
What'd you get me?
Huh? Well, I mean, it's not like a physical thing.
Well, it is, kind of.
Yeah, it's physical. It's, like, not on me. Like, I got you a match.
Okay.
With Emma.
How you doing?
Cool. I mean, I don't care who it's against. I'm going straight to the top, all right?
And I like that about you.
Oh, listen, I got this thing. I gotta get out of here, all right?
I come in here for the real thing.
Get out of here.
Good talk.
Where's my sugar?
It's in your tea with Regal, bro. Denied.
What is that?
Again.
I get it a first match, and I get it this match, and I ain't get no match. Well, we don't match.
I love these three together.
They're a great combo.
They really are.
Enzo's growing on me as an entertainer.
He really is.
So good stuff there. So she's going to fight Emma coming up. Our main event, NXT Championship, Adrian Neville, Titus O'Neil. I was going to do a bunch of recap on this one, but no. If you watched the match from last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a match between Sami Zayn and Titus O'Neil. This is basically the same match. Including bear hug spot, shove off a rope, that sort of thing. Neville tried to stay away, tried to use his speed a little bit, but it was not to be. But Adrian was able to make a comeback towards the end of the match. He uses kicks and he was fighting out of it. Titus threw Neville into the corner. Neville moved, kicked Titus in the head. Neville went for a springboard, ducked by Titus. Titus connected with a big boot for a long two count. Titus chokes Neville in the corner. Titus shots in the corner, and then Neville, the ref pulled Titus away. Titus charged in, got slapped, and then eats two boots from Neville, and then Neville hit the red arrow for the victory. It was a solid match. It wasn't Alright, as I wrote in my notes, Titus really looks very slow and not athletic as he wants to. Like he isn't moving around very well. It's like, he has too much muscle mass on top lately, and sort of not surprised why his push sort of derailed a little bit, because he had the look, but he's sort of missing something.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, you can see why when they broke him up from Darren Young, you can see why they started to push him, because he could talk a little bit, kind of, but he's missing a lot, and he just doesn't have it.
I think Titus's talents could be utilized elsewhere, because he's a very elegant speaker, and he can command attention, and that's a good thing. He just, in this setting, he's not charismatic enough to get the point across. And I think it's something that he would be a wonderful resource for them to use to send out to do PR work, to do stuff for all their charity work, make appearances, really as sort of a PR spokesman type individual. Because he's very well spoken, very, very appealing. The man is a saint outside of the ring. And I just feel like they could utilize that side of him more than they do the wrestling. Because the guy's just, like I said, the guy's a saint. And they never talk about it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They never mention what Titus O'Neil does.
No.
Outside the ring.
No, they don't.
All the charity work, everything he does for people in his community. It's amazing what he does. And it's like, I wish they would highlight that. Like, just... If you want to keep him wrestling, highlight the fact that he does all this stuff. That he's helping his community. He's helping kids in his community. He's funding a charity to help buy disabled children wheelchairs. I mean, good Lord, why can't you talk about that on TV? That would make him so much more likable. People would be interested in him then. I think the problem is nobody's interested in him because there's nothing, they don't ever say anything interesting about him.
And if that falls through, he can always be the sassy black man on Total Divas.
That's it. But I'd rather see them, like, just turn him face, and if you want to utilize him in wrestling, and highlight his charity work. Point out what a wonderful human being he is. And that would get people interested in him. Because it would make them stand up and take notice and say, like, oh, hey, look at that. That's kind of cool. I never knew... Like, that's the thing, is, like, you hear what they do outside the ring, and, oh, it's... I never knew they did that. Because WWE never talks about it.
No, they don't.
Which, if you've got people doing charity work, why don't you highlight that? And say, here's some of our talent, giving their time, their free time, which they have very little of, their money... And just of themselves to their communities to make them a better place. And they're doing this of their own free will. We're not making them do this. They're doing this of their own free will. Like, the company could do so much with that.
I would agree.
But that's just me. Anyway, so what did you think of the show overall?
Well, we're not done.
We're not done?
We're not done. As Neville celebrated, somebody showed up.
Oh, that's right.
Adrian, hey, I just want to be the first one to congratulate you on yet another successful title defense. You're on fire, man. But in case you haven't heard, I'm on something of a mission myself. And my mission ends with that NXT championship. What do you say?
Yes, 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 yes. Sammy, I say yes. Me and you, whenever you want it, wherever you want it. I look forward to it. Huh.
Thank you, buddy. Hey, I really appreciate that. I'm going to hold you to that. And actually, you might want to hold on to that while you can, because you're not going to have it for much longer.
Oh, Sammy, I'm not too worried because we all know you can't win the big one.
Ouch.
Well,
that's what we call a burn, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Yes, and it's sadly very true, so we'll have to see if Sami Zayn can overcome his slump and pull it out in the big moment.
Yeah, and, well, it's going to get really interesting really, really quick.
Pretty much, yeah.
But to answer your earlier question, this was a solid show. I liked the match of the night to me was the girls' match, and that usually is the case 95% of the time. The girls are very interesting to me. They usually put on some of the better matches on the show. Again, I'm not impressed with Titus O'Neil. I thought coming down to NXT, he would be motivated a little bit more, but he just sort of, like, I can't say he wasn't motivated, just, there was not enough oomph, and he just doesn't mix well with these guys. He just seems very out of place. But overall, the show was fine.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I'm looking forward to next week because something big happens next week.
Yes, it does.
And we're moving forward to the next WWE NXT special on December 11th.
Yeah. Which is called Evolution.
So on that note, I say we take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Hell in a Cell, including our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite Hell in a Cell match? And, well, we've got Tweet of the Week and so much more, so you're listening to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston Badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air. At X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air. Every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling stop-motion action figure needs. And, well, before we get into Hell in a Cell and the question of the night, I say we do Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
By the way, big interception in the football game right now.
Yep.
So, there you go. Anyway, Tweet of the Week.
By the way, that game bumper still makes me smile.
I know, be warned, people, that one's going to be played a lot.
Yeah, we're a little proud of that. So, Dolph Ziggler. Dude on a plane with the Superman ringtone. Don't think the Man of Steel ever wore Crocs, even in a phone booth, whatever that is. Superman ringtone guy update. He takes on multiple breakfast burritos in a single mound, and napkins appear to be his kryptonite. My fave flavor of Oreo is Oreo flavored. Someone had to say it. That's the way the marketed cookie crumbles. Hashtag hero. Made sure I put my unwashed hands on two lids for my soda and put one back just like the person in front of me, etc. Hashtag pay it forward.
Are these all Ziggler?
Yes.
Okay.
I forgot to favorite, so I just went through his Twitter real quick. Sorry, y'all. Hashtag Omaha coined in Tennessee. 1900 smug face and ruby splash forehead. Also trustworthy pizza. Hashtag Thursday Night Football. Like that dead long cat from the popular 80s poster, at Chargers found a way to hang in there. Hashtag Thursday Night Football. This game just got more out of hand than a hotline commercial with the sexy green M&M wearing a Bluetooth. Hashtag Thursday Night Football. And that's all I got.
Well, you'll be shocked. I don't have many.
Wow.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9.
Wow.
So we start with Betty freaking White. Day 6 of Olive Garden's never-ending pasta bowl. Why won't they let me leave? Here's a piece of advice for people. Spike Eskin goes, the most important thing I've learned in my 2 decades of living on my own is that Windex will kill a roach as easy as bug spray will. Just so people know. Spike Eskin goes, Philly cab driver manual. 1. Talk on your cell phone. 2. Speed to each stop sign. 3. Whatever you do, make accepting credit cards a problem. TNA Dixie Carter. Thrilled that Nashville is hosting the 2016 NHL All-Star Game. I was smart to base TNA headquarters here. It's the new It City.
Oh, Jesus.
Scott Stanford. The modern-day miracle that is a white tube sock that fits to foot sizes 6 through 12 is truly amazing. Sports Nation. Aaron Rodgers' second half to-do list? Take a nap. Send some tweets? Probably get a hot dog.
No, he can't send tweets. He'll get fined.
He would get fined. Dolph Ziggler. Come on, Brian Hoyer. Browns defense carrying the games like a throne at WrestleMania. Hashtag Cleveland vs. Jacksonville. Adam Copeland was asked the following question under hashtag Ask Adam. Better beard, Bray Wyatt or Daniel Bryan? Who did he choose, Lindsay? Bray or Brian?
Brian.
Luke Harper.
Okay, that's a suitable substitute.
Someone was tweeting Lagana live tweet when it's been taped. MVP replied, no. He pre-taped his generic responses tweets. Hashtag flat scam. That's tweet of the week. People, you got me funnier on Twitter. People been slacking on their Twitter game. Just point that one out.
Oh, just wait for football to start, or football on Sunday. Well, I'm sure we'll get some hilarious ones. By the way, I had a really weird dream with Eric in it that I'm going to have to tell you about later.
Okay.
It was just weird. So, anyway, do we want to talk about Hell in a Cell first, or do we want to talk about our question of the night first?
Let's talk about our question of the night first.
Okay.
What is your favorite Hell in a Cell moment? And we got a few interesting responses. One was the 97 Bad Blood featuring Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. You had... there was one that said, off the top of my head, said Armageddon. The six-way Armageddon one, which was another cool one. What is your favorite?
I think I'm going to have to go with End of an Era.
Just steal my one, don't you?
I will. I mean, I loved Taker versus Shawn. I loved Taker versus Mankind. But there was something really special in End of an Era that I don't think they'll ever be able to duplicate again. And the story that was told in that match and just the way it was done was really, really incredible. Like, if you want to do a Hell in a Cell with no blood, that's how you do a Hell in a Cell with no blood. Seriously.
And here's the thing. When people talk about one of the greatest matches, greatest Hell in a Cell matches, it's Foley and Taker. Well, if you actually look at the match, it really wasn't a good match.
No, because Foley was knocked stupid 5 minutes into it because he got thrown off the top.
It's the most memorable Hell in a Cell.
Right, because everybody remembers Foley going off the top because it's the most overplayed moment. followed up by Foley going through the roof of the cell. And after that, nobody really remembers the match. I mean, Taker did his best to get Foley through the match, and bless him for it, but it really wasn't this, you know, this all-star classic in that sense, but it deserves its place in history because of what happened, because of the level of violence that was achieved in that match.
A better Foley Hell in a Cell was Hunter and Cactus Jack and No Way Out 2000. That was a better match. Foley took a big bump at the end, but they actually had a good fight in there.
Yeah, I would agree. That was between the two. I would say that was the better wrestling match, but the one with the more memorable moments was with Taker.
Shawn and Hunter had a good Hell in a Cell. At Bad Blood. I actually want to go back and watch that one. Another one I want to go back and watch, again, about Sean. It was DX versus the McMahon's and Big Show, and they talked about this on the WWE.com interview, where it was the most comical moment in Hell in a Cell history, when Mr. McMahon's head went up Big Show's ass.
Oops.
You don't think comical moments when you think Hell in a Cell. But yeah, as far as matches, like, alright, a runner-up for me, again, DX versus Legacy. They told a good story in Hell in a Cell. If you go for storytelling, that was one of the better stories told in the cell. Like, Taker and Edge had a good one, but I think DX and versus Legacy had a better story. That was from Hell in a Cell in 2009. It's on the network. Watched it the other day. It was kind of awesome. But for favorite, it's end of an era, because you won't see anything like that again. You really won't. And they keep mentioning that, and on the DX panel thing on the network for only $9.99, they talk about it and how it was really special, and they show the guys hugging after the match, and it was like, it wasn't about the Attitude Era, it was just the end of the era, because it was the last time. And if you think about it, sans one moment that no one ever saw except for people in arena, have the three of them been in the same ring together?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why
it's the last time we're ever going to see them all three in the ring at the same time participating in a wrestling match.
Yeah.
Think about that one. That was the last time we're ever going to see that. They'll be all three be together.
Maybe.
And they'll all three be in one place.
Maybe.
No, they will. They will. They'll show up, because when Taker and Hunter go in the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah. Well, there's the Sands Hall of Fame, yeah. We won't see much of them together. But yeah, that, to me, end of there, as far as great, you had great storytelling, you had great moments. It was the best Hell in a Cell match, because you had three great storytellers in that match, and it was built on true emotion.
Right. I mean, there was no need for a heavy setup, but they did such a great job in the build of that match as well, that it made it just that much better. Because there was this, when you want to talk about a long-standing rivalry and history between these three, there's some major shit that's gone down between these three.
Years, years and years and years of history.
And it's especially between Taker and Shawn, and I just love the way that they did that build for that. I love how, I think this was the one where Taker came back and they did the silent promo, or was that the first one?
That was the first one.
Okay, that was a cool moment, but just Taker coming back and demanding the match from Hunter and saying that, I want to redeem myself. In my mind, I lost. I want to come in and redeem myself and basically beat you up. And the fact that they made Taker chase that, they made Taker chase Hunter.
It was the
get Hunter to agree to the match. That was really cool.
It was the last great Undertaker story.
He left me.
He did leave you. But if you think about it, it really was the last great.
Oh, yeah. It was the last great saga for him.
It was the end of his era.
Mm-hmm.
Sad as it was. He'll come back to you at some point.
No, he won't. But at least he has hair on his head.
We have spot. We Hairgate continues. Hashtag Hairgate. We keep up on the top of it, even though he's not longer on TV. He has hair on his head again.
Yay!
Some, not a lot, but some.
Hmm.
We think it's red or blonde or some point. It's sort of.
It's probably a mix of red and gray, and it probably looks blonde. Or he's dying it blonde, which if he's dying his hair blonde, I'm just going to have to go find him and tell him to stop. Because that's just not okay.
This isn't 2002 when all the cool kids were putting blonde streaks in their hair.
Yeah. Dude, no. Just let it go natural. Natural.
Natural.
Natural. So, I say we move on to Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell, which is on the WWE Network for only $9.99 or your local cable provider. This Sunday, we're going to give you our quick thoughts and opinions along with our picks. If you want to join along in the Pick'em game, tweet them to @WildTalkRadio or tomorrow put them in the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork or on the respective Facebook pages that we'll promote at the end of the show, or you can email them to media@WildTalkRadio.com. Was that quick enough?
Yeah.
Was that quick enough of a show for that?
Sure.
So, let's start, by the way, on the pre-show, there's no match, it's just Miz Dal TV with The Miz as the special guest.
This is going to be epic.
It really will be. One match that isn't officially announced, but it will be officially announced on SmackDown, we're going to go to for that one right away, so spoiler alert everybody, Intercontinental Championship, best 2 out of 3 falls, it will be Dolph Ziggler versus Cesaro. Okay, spoiler people, Ziggler beats Cesaro on SmackDown for the title, to retain it. So he gets a title shot because Cesaro made a challenge, apparently. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Makes no logic.
But we're going to go with it.
We're going to go with it. Where are you going?
This is the IC title match?
Yes.
I'm sorry, who's in it again?
Ziggler and Cesaro.
Ziggler and Cesaro.
Seeing as Ziggler just beat Cesaro on SmackDown to retain the title, Cesaro wins.
I'm going to say Ziggler retains.
Okay.
I don't think there's any need to take the belt off him. I don't think they're interested in taking the belt off him. And it's something of if Vince has to pick between Cesaro and Ziggler in terms of who he wants that title to be on, it's going to be Ziggler. Because Vince just isn't in love with Cesaro and he goes back and forth on him.
Well, I'm going to hold out hope and I'm going to go with Cesaro. I'll be completely wrong. U.S. title. Sheamus versus The Miz.
Sheamus.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, it's got to be Sheamus. Because go ahead.
There's no reason to take the title off Sheamus. There really isn't.
Do you know who the next U.S. champion should be?
Dean Ambrose? No. Bray Wyatt?
No. Damian Mizdow.
Okay, I'll accept that. I'll totally accept that.
Damian Mizdow should do what The Miz couldn't do, and that's beat Sheamus. We saw it happen on Monday. Mizdow can do it. He can beat Sheamus, and he'll win the Intercontinental, the U.S. Championship. Sheamus retains, but I'm calling it now. Mizdow for U.S. champ.
Okay, fair enough.
So the loser, for 30 days, becomes the other one's bitch or assistant. Brie versus Nikki. You gotta think it's Nikki all the way in this one. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the story writes itself. I mean, it would be awkward for Nikki to be Bree's assistant, because when you do this sort of gimmick, it makes more sense for the heel to be the one bossing around the face.
But at the same time, thinking about it, it would force Nikki to eat a big old plate of humble pie.
So are you going with Brie?
I'm going with Brie. I think Brie wins.
I'm going Nikki.
Because you have Brie win, she humbles Nikki, and then they kiss and make up, and then they're the Bella Twins again.
I hate that you're going to be right. Divas Championship, AJ Lee Page. We've seen this match up before. They had one stinker, and ever since, they've been great matches. I don't know.
I say AJ.
Why do you say AJ? Somebody on AJ.
I think they're done with the back and forth and trading back and forth. They're not ready to have a Total Divas champion. And granted, they can get Paige, the title off of Paige before the new season airs. But now that they've made the announcement that she's going on the show, I don't think they're going to put the title back on her. I think they're going to wait until they can sync everything up. And it just, everybody's expecting, I think, another title swap. Like, these two just traded back and forth. And at some point, somebody's going to have to move on. And I think AJ finally defeats Paige and moves on in some capacity. Now, whether it's clean or not, I don't know. But I say AJ wins.
You sold me, AJ. I was looking for some reason to pick AJ. You saw me. All right, we'll go with AJ on that one. Up next, it will be the WWE Tag Team Championship. Know your bro, yo. It's Goldust and Stardust versus the Usos.
The Dust Brothers.
They just put the belts on them. It's too soon to put the belts back on. On the Usos. They had their run. The Golden Stardust keep the belts. Simple as that. Again, alright, here's a little tangent. Can we stop with the Usos versus Goldust and Stardust?
No, because they don't have anybody else. That's the thing. They don't have anybody else. The dominant tag team of Mark Henry and Big Show that, you know, you crushed Luke Harper and Eric Rowan with, you know, they're pretty much split up. They're not really a tag team anymore, so I don't understand what the point of jobbing the Wyatts out to them was. Eric and Luke are unknown at this point in terms of their status. Is the Wyatt family breaking up? Are they not breaking up? Nobody knows. And they're not around anyway because it's Save the Boobies Month or whatever it is.
I'm over seeing Usos vs. Goldust in any combination, whether singles tag or six-man tags. I'm done. I've seen it. This match, I have no interest in this match. I hate saying that, but I've seen the match 1,000 times already this month before they even get to the title match. If they kept them apart, it would be interesting. But they haven't kept them apart, and I've seen every combination. The Usos are going to fly. Stardust is going to fall off the top rope and not look. We're going to see it all. It'll be a great match. It'll be exciting. We've seen it all. I'm sorry. We have. It's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Rant over. USA versus Russia. The Big Show versus Rusev. In real life scenario, if Big Show doesn't... Big Show should win this match because he's standing up for the good old US of A after what that son of a B did to that military soldier on Monday Night Raw. The USA should conquer. He should overcome. But he won't.
Yeah, I agree. I say Rusev goes over on this. I don't think this is going to be clean. I think somebody's going to interfere. Possibly the soldier. Possibly Lana.
Possibly Mizark Henry.
Possibly Mizark Henry. This is not going to be clean, or if it is, I would be very surprised. So yeah, I'm going to say Rusev.
After the angle they did, Big Show should win, but again, the USA is going to be looked defeated. Again, it's going to suck. Anyway, Hell in a Cell. double main event. John Cena versus Randy Orton, with the winner getting a shot at Brock Lesnar at some point.
John Cena. Orton wants time off, and it's fucking John Cena. Game over. His name is involved. He's going to win. If Orton wins, I'd be very surprised.
Randy Orton.
Why?
Because I don't want to pick John Cena to win. No, okay. Here's my realistic reason. Because I know John Cena's going to win. Which means what I don't want to happen in the main event. So, I'm going with Randy Orton.
Okay.
Because main event, Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins, because, you know, Dean wanted to get Seth. John Cena lost. He gets title shot opportunity. Logic. None of it. None of it. Logic, none. Makes no sense. Seth Rollins wins.
I'm going to go with Dean.
Seth Rollins wins because they've got the whole world in their hands. Wyatt family screws Dean Ambrose. Call my shot.
I could agree with that to a certain extent. I say they try to screw Dean Ambrose, but Dean Ambrose figures out a way to win. Because the other side of this is John Cena comes in and beats down Seth Rollins and figures out a way to get in the cage. And he beats down Seth Rollins, which gives Dean Ambrose the win.
That would be the worst thing in the history of mankind.
And this is stopping them from doing it how?
I'm just saying it's the worst idea in the history of mankind.
That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Cena loses to Orton, and Orton goes on to face Brock, they're going to need to find a feud for Cena. They've already set up a built-in feud for John Cena with Seth Rollins, which means they need to give Seth Rollins a reason to go after John Cena. So John Cena comes in, and he costs Seth Rollins his match, just like Seth Rollins did to him at whatever the last pay-per-view was. That gives the two an instant reason to feud. Dean wins. He gets his revenge on Seth. He gets to bounce him around the cage for 20 minutes. He's good to go. He then lets Cena have the scraps, and he moves on to whatever the hell he wants to do next.
No, I'm not gonna agree.
I'm going with Dean.
I could see Dean winning. I have no problem with Dean Ambrose winning. He should win because he's the next rising star. But I'm going Seth Rollins, and my picks are going to be horrible. Horrible come next week. I can already tell.
Probably. Mine are too, so.
Oh, it'll be either you'll be good or I'll be good because we went opposite in a couple matches because I'm just going out on the limbs and because I can.
Picking with my heart because I honestly don't know. So, with that, I say we're done.
We're done for the evening. So that's Hell in a Cell. Again, send your picks in. We'll have the thing up tomorrow when the full card's announced. And all that fun, happy stuff. Speaking of stuff, the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 3, Episode 8 will be available tomorrow. Episode 9 will at some point this weekend, maybe, or early next week. And then Episode 10 will be available next Friday. Check it out, Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. If you go to youtube.com/user/WTRTheRack and subscribe to our official YouTube channel, because we're fancy like that, because I'm actually putting some work into it now.
Ew.
I know. It has a header and everything now. It's all fancy. Or channel art, as they call it now. So huge. Not necessary. Anyway, Saturday Night Midnight Edition, CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. And check out the brand new website, CBRadioLive.com. That's once again, CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, covering Hell in a Cell. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Bing Bam Boom. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack. At what time, Lindsay?
10 p.m. Eastern.
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Yo.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, L-A-N-S-W-R-D. You can go to my website, sickworddesigns.com. Check that out. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter. And, of course, visit our very fine sponsors, pwmania.com, tnaasylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!